This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello, this is Miriam Margulies, and you are listening to Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. It's Chris here. I'm a little bit exhausted from Easter, but I think there's a couple of other bright sparks with me who might be just as tired.
I'm Phil and I haven't been chasing bunnies like some people.
And I'm Gordon and I've had too many hot cross buns.
Oh, is that what it is? Lead in your feet?
Well, it's in my feet, yeah.
Thanks very much. Yeah, thanks for joining us on Been There, Done That. As I said, we're a little bit exhausted from Easter. We're glad that it's over. Comes around every year, but it keeps moving.
That's right. They keep moving the thing from... Oh. It can go right up to almost the end of April from the beginning of March, depending on what the day is that the new moon falls on. And then it's got to be the week after that or something.
I've got a theory.
What?
It's the one part of the church that has to pay tax, so they have no fixed address.
Ah.
The tax man can't find them.
Can't find them, but okay, right.
Keep moving
for Easter. But they can have Christmas Day on the 25th of December, and everybody knows when it is. Why can't they sort of pick a weekend in the middle of March, say, and say that's Easter weekend?
Why don't they sort of hang it around about the 22nd or 23rd of March, the equinox?
It probably comes from that in the first blooming place, you know, because it's a pagan thing. Easter is actually a pagan time,
and
I think
the old goddess or whoever she was Ostra, which is where we get the word estrogen for female fertility, and that was springtime in the northern hemisphere, and that would sort of figure
be about the same time. Yeah. I don't know whoever brought this thing in about how they would have Easter, but they certainly didn't have their brains about them.
I wonder when it was set.
Oh, it's a long, long time ago, I think.
Yeah, yes. Because they mightn't have had many expert points of reference that they could point to and say, well, it's got to be. I suppose the moon was one of those rising things, and that's why Passover is also this time of year, because of their linking in with the moon's phases.
But all the ancient societies used the moon and the stars and the sun for their seasonal changes, and they knew what was happening at the time. So I don't know whether it had anything to do with that.
Astrology is sort of part of this same concept, is it?
Well, I suppose it is.
That's more astronomy.
But they did. They also knew, and they also named the stars and everything around them, you know. And watching that show that had been on the ABC about astronomy, it's interesting to see that the Aboriginal people, their whole lives was governed by the stars. And they knew when the emu was in the Milky Way that was when the water was coming.
And I hadn't seen the emu before until it was displayed.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. And there it was in full flight.
Well, if we keep looking, you might see the Easter bunny in the sky.
Oh.
That's when we have Easter.
Oh, that's probably what they're probably that.
No. It seems to be on the 1st of January.
Oh, that's when
Easter
you can buy
starts.
Hot cross buns.
No, you don't. No, Boxing Day.
Okay.
Boxing Day is when the Easter hot cross buns come out.
When we're well and done with Christmas.
We're done with Christmas, so bring on the hot cross buns, yes.
Oh, it's such a commercial event. Well, I suppose that then begs the question, really, should we be having Easter as a series of public holidays?
Well, we here in Australia, who are spoilt rotten with Good Friday, Easter Sunday and Monday... And when I was young, Tuesday also got
the
rolled in there.
Yes, yes.
What? And when I was in America, Easter was Sunday.
That was it.
On Easter Day.
Yep. You work on Good Friday, you work on Monday, and you don't complain because you've never had it any other way.
Oh.
So we
That's
really
not
should
Australian,
count our...
Is it?
But our,
well,
our,
no, working, yeah.
But ours comes from the British system because we're a Commonwealth country.
We have an appreciation for public holidays. Like over there, they can't beat a bank holiday.
And we have more holidays than almost any other country in the world. Easter is a good time because it is the last large holiday before you get right up into the Christmas time. schools have time off. The children have to have a break at the end of the term, a 9-week term, so they can have a bit of rest. And the teachers need a rest. They're the ones that need the rest. It's not the children, that's for sure. God, if you've ever worked in a school, you know how hard teachers work.
Yeah, and they're so exhausted from their last holiday.
Well,
look, when they have their
holidays, struck a nerve.
When they have their holidays, that's when they start doing working for the next term.
I don't know where this came from, but our family on Good Friday had a quiet day. The radio didn't go on until 6 o'clock at night. People were sent to their rooms. Or not sent, we weren't confined. Okay, go and read a book. It's not a play day. We're just going to take it simple and quiet. I think it was just our family.
Your family.
Were you sad about the crucifixion?
Well, I don't know whether it was a rollover from that.
You really shouldn't feel guilty about it. It wasn't your fault.
No, it wasn't my fault. No, you can't backdate.
That's right. I'm sorry.
I mean, the church does try and hang guilt on people for their current activities, but I don't know how they can... So welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. Yes. Here we are. We're 7 minutes into the show, and we didn't really explain to the dear listener what we try and do on this show.
we try very hard.
We throw out our opinions.
Yes.
As if you hadn't noticed. we like to draw attention to those gay people in history, the gay icons, dicons and bicons, and the other pioneers in the gay and broader communities. We celebrate anniversaries about this time or events in history that have affected our lives even now. And so on today's show, we'll be talking about Leonardo da Vinci, because he was a bit of a bright spark. We'll be talking about some singers in the pop era, or the popular era, because that's where pop comes from. We'll be talking about Barbara Streisand, Dusty Springfield, Andy Bell and his band Erasure. And then we've got a few of these public sort of general items that we're going to be talking about just to wrap up the show.
Filler material.
We're talking about stuff. Last week, I think it was, we were talking about stuff.
How much this
stuff
week we'll talk about things.
I will talk about things. Yeah. Will we? Okay, right.
You're a rascal. You're a rascal, Gordon.
Oh, well.
So thanks very much. Let's have our first piece of music. What's it going to be?
I don't know.
Robbie Williams, Love My Life, here on Joy.
I bet he does. I love my life.
Melbourne's lovable radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris, Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us. Someone who's having a bit of a birthday around about this time is our dear friend and compatriot, Leonardo da Vinci, born on the 15th of April, 1452.
Yes.
He was a bit of a wonder boy of his time.
We wonder how he got that ability. Where did it come from? He must have been...
They didn't have Vegemite or Weet-Bix in those days.
No.
But something was sparking his brain, and he seems to have really cottoned onto a lot of things that no one else had thought about at that time. Or he developed them from someone else's germ of an idea.
Lady Gaga had the answer. He was born that way.
Oh.
Well,
and he was known as a polymath, which is a man of great knowledge and learning.
Polymath?
Yeah.
I thought that was a parrot that could do sums.
I see you're stealing my jokes. I will mention that a polygon is an empty cage.
Oh, polygon.
Moving back to Leonardo DiCaprio. How about Leonardo da Vinci?
Oh, that'll do.
You see where my mind is, anyway. But, I mean, look, his interests included invention, painting, sculpting, architecture, science, music, mathematics, engineering, literature, astronomy, geology, astronomy, botany, writing and history, and cartography. What did he do on weekends?
Well, he was also a apparently very, very good-looking young man, and he was very popular. And he was actually had up on a charge of sodomy with some other young boys.
Well, that makes you popular in certain circles.
Yes, that's right. But he was able to get off of that because homosexuality was absolutely illegal during the Renaissance.
And yes, so he was able to get away with again, it. Once again, if you're rich and famous, you can get away with a lot of things.
Well, I don't know whether he was rich at the time, but he was probably getting to become quite famous.
Well, he would have been popular at parties. Pick a subject.
Yeah.
He knows all about it.
That's right. Well, he was apparently, you know, some historians and scholars regard Leonardo as the principal example of the universal genius, or some called him the Renaissance man. Unquenchable curiosity and feverishly inventive imagination. A couple of his qualities.
But there are people now like that. I've known two remarkable minds in people. And one guy had milk bottle glasses, hearing aid and a speech impediment. But he could write a computer program in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
His skills are a little bit more limited than Leonardo. But he, in my mind, he was a true genius. And where his input and output devices were somewhat faulty, inside there was just this incredible mind. So I think they come along and see, Da Vinci was at a time when everything was yet to be invented.
Yes, yes.
So if the thought popped into your head, it's massive.
Well, of course.
You haven't done that before.
Yeah, but like, I just wondered, often wondered whether he was a savant.
He could have been.
He could have been a savant, you see, because there are people that like that who are savants that are absolutely, absolutely brilliant. They did a program on television about one chap, and he could do all sorts of things. He could sort of tell you the pi numbers right back to when the beginning of pi is is just a continuous number, you know. But he could quote it back for I don't know how many points.
200.
Yeah, yeah. But and then he went to Iceland, this young man, and Icelandic language is a language that is very, very hard to learn, apparently because the way they speak it. He learnt it in 6 days.
Wow.
And he could speak fluent Icelandic in 6 days. But that was the mind that he had. Now, did Leonardo have such a mind?
He must have been rewired separately from the rest of us because, when I was on my holidays in Italy last year, I called into Milan, which was one of the places where Leonardo did a lot of his work.
Milan is one of the cultural centres of Italy, actually.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Everything was happening in Milan and around the northern parts of Italy. Mm.
Well, I went to a little museum where they displayed a lot of replicas in timber of his machines that he built. He did a flying bicycle.
Mm.
I mean, I'm not sure whether we'd had bicycles at that stage, which were just sort of straddling machines that you walked like a kiddie's.
The velocipede,
toy.
They were called.
Well, this is like the little kids.
Yeah.
They don't have pedals at that stage.
Right, yeah.
Well, on this particular flying bicycle, the pedals on this forward machine actually had wings which flapped. They looked like birds' wings. But of course, it really didn't work. But it was a stage of development of the concepts of bicycle and of flying machines to see what sort of lift you could get flapping the wings of the bicycle to lift you off the ground.
Well, he would have taken that from flying birds, which you could see them flapping, how they got their lift from that.
But we're still doing that now. If you look at all modern aircraft, they have winglets on the end.
Yeah, that's to stop the thing.
It stops the vortices falling.
Yeah, yep.
But they copied that directly from the wedge-tail eagle.
That's right.
Who lifts up his feathers.
But the chap that actually flew first, it wasn't the Wright brothers that flew first.
No.
There was another bloke. He copied Da Vinci's wing system into a plane.
Right.
And that's how he found out he would be able to fly. Yeah.
Good.
And he was more on the mark than the Wright brothers.
That's exactly
who
right.
Who just put a box kite with a motor.
Yes, that's right.
And that had no future at all.
One of the other things that Leonardo's museum showed was a rapid-fire crossbow.
Well, now, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Well,
bang, 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 bang. And yes, you wouldn't have to stop and load.
Well, it was preloaded like a machine gun. And I saw that one. There was a mechanical violin that was sort of like a machine violin, like a piano player piano you had. There was this sort of violin that was played by a machine.
It was something scraped across some strings that made the sound. Mm.
There was a continuous organ.
Oh, God.
Mechanical dragonfly, mechanical submarine, where you got in and you actually pedaled it, and he already had the buoyancy tanks as part of his construction at that stage. There was a robot soldier, which was in fact a suit of armour in which a person could go, but then it was able to launch weapons against the enemy. His mind must have been thinking on weird and wonderful lines.
I guess he just had the foresight to actually write things down.
Yeah, but he also wrote it so that people couldn't read. Yeah. He wrote it in reverse left-hand to right-hand writing so that you could pick it up. Nobody could understand what he'd written until somebody picked up a mirror and put it to the mirror and they could see that you could read it by reverse imaging. Yes, that's the way he... And he wrote it in his left hand, but he was a right-handed man. So that was another thing that sort of upset them as well. Very clever man, very clever man.
You remember the old spinning wheel that would operate with a treadle.
That's right.
And the wheel would spin around, and the thread would actually then go on to what we call a bobbin.
Bobbin.
Well, Leonardo actually mechanized that, putting it onto the bobbin so that the thread was evenly spaced across that.
Oh, right.
Previously, it had to be conical shaped so that it would work, but he did it on a plane spindle and, sneaky little fellow.
Oh, well,
who could actually see that there was anything wrong with what was already there?
Well, the ladies that were spinning it would have blessed him for doing it because they wouldn't have had to worry about trying to get the thing on straight, would they?
Yeah.
And it's also really handy for the ball boys at the tennis.
That's where the whole thing comes from, the spinster and a wife. The spinster was the young unmarried woman that did the spinning, and the wife did the weaving. Wife comes from weaving. That's
really?
That's the history of it.
Gordon!
He's been around so long.
I was going to say, I'd never heard that explanation before.
Wives,
I don't disbelieve
The wives were the weavers. They wove the cloth, the spinners, spinsters.
Wife, weave.
It. Yeah.
Incredible. And spinster, I love that.
Yeah, well, that's where it comes from. That's just, I thought everybody knew that.
Huh. Well, I'm a child of this century, but...
Well, do you think I'm one from the last? Yes, I am, actually.
In fact, we all are.
We all are.
Now, dear Leonardo was into painting and sculpturing, and that was because he had a good eye for beauty.
But he was also apprenticed to an artist when he was 14, because he had the ability. He was a Verrocchio. Verrocchio was the place he was apprenticed to, and Verrocchio just used to be able to put his name to everything after the apprentices had painted all, and he'd probably put a couple of splashes of paint on and say he did it.
It's life. It's tough.
That's tough, isn't it? That's the way they worked it in those days. But I still, that's what happens with apprentices these days as well.
I know from my apprenticeship that I did all the work.
And didn't get paid enough for it.
Oh, I got $35 a week one year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Goodness me.
I was pretty happy at 17.
Yeah, at 17. That's good. Leonardo died in the arms of the King of France, Francis I, who was a very popular king. And he had asked Leonardo to come and live in France, because there was a lot of trouble in Italy.
Yeah.
And so Leonardo went and he took a couple of paintings. One was the Mona Lisa and one was another one. And they are still trying to work out what the Mona Lisa was and who it is. They say it's the wife of the baker or something rather. But
there's a lot of theories.
There's a lot
around.
Of theories. But they did a very clever one on the television, and they showed that there is an underpainting under it that they could see with the new modern techniques for X-raying and all the rest of it. There's another painting underneath it that could have been the one that's there now is a copy of the one that was underneath it. And then there was another one that said it was actually a self-portrait of Leonardo having a laugh at everybody, painting himself as a woman, because they put his photo of his head onto the actual head of the Mona Lisa, and it's a perfect fit.
Oh, I've heard the painting underneath were four dogs playing cards on a velvet table.
But he was a very clever man. He had to hide all his extracurricular work, you know, so that people wouldn't steal it.
Oh, I thought you meant...
you're thinking of his private life.
Well, he hid all his inventions and everything and the rest of it. And he wrote the Verrucchian Man or something or other? The one where the man's standing with his arms out and legs out in a perfect circle, that the whole of your body will make a perfect circle. It's called the Vitruvian Man.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
I knew him as Bob.
You knew him as Bob, did you?
Someone in the long distant past actually summarised Leonardo da Vinci's life as, in the normal course of events, many men and women are born with remarkable talents, but occasionally, in a way that transcends nature, a single person is marvelously endowed by heaven with beauty, grace, and talent in such abundance that he leaves other men far behind. All his actions seem inspired, and indeed everyone he does clearly comes from God rather than from human skill.
Oh, I don't think that that's right.
Hold
somehow.
On, though. That was the concept of the time. That
this oh, that's right, yeah.
1500s.
Everybody acknowledged that this is true of Leonardo da Vinci, an artist of outstanding physical beauty who displayed infinite grace in everything that he did, and who cultivated his genius so brilliantly that all problems he studied, he solved with ease.
Oh, that's very good of
him. And he had time to play around on this edge.
But he always hid his sexuality.
Yeah.
It was one of the things he never talked about or flaunted, but he did have a live-in lover for many, many years who actually went to France with him. When he went to France.
Yeah. I suspect when he walked into a room, he didn't say, I'm free.
He didn't need to.
Wouldn't need to, I would think.
Here's a little mix. What are they going to be singing for us? They're going to be singing Touch, here on Joy.
This Joy program has a podcast, and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
And you can download the podcast and email us separately, of course, at beenthere@joy.org.au. Tell us how good we are. Correct us.
Tell us where we've gone wrong.
Thank you, Phil. You're listening to Been There, Done That with Phil, Gordon and Chris. Indeed. We'd love to hear from you too.
Yeah, it's nice to get some feedback from some of the things we sort of ramble on about and giggle about. Phil, I've got a bone to pick with you.
Ooh.
A very big bone to pick with you. Last week, you had no Simpsons reference whatsoever. I don't know what you were doing.
I was ill. I had a brain aneurysm which blocked out all my Simpsons memory.
I was listening to our replay this morning, and I thought I was waiting for Phil, and I suddenly thought, no, he didn't say anything about The Simpsons last week.
Well, I will right now. This is off topic, but one of our possible subjects today was about Mr. Guillotine.
Monsieur Guillotine, yes.
The inventor of the guillotine.
That's right, yes.
Which is a nice head-chopping device for people you don't like.
Oh, yeah.
And in a flashback episode of The Simpsons, Police Chief Wiggum was the...
executioner?
He just called an executioner, is he? And he said, I've done some reading, and the brain actually stays alive for about 5 seconds. So I put some magazines in the bucket where the head lands. So you've got something to do.
Thank you. And when we're talking about Leonardo da Vinci, we keep getting caught up with Leonardo DiCaprio.
And it's not just the name. They're both very good-looking men.
Well, true. But I'm sure Lisa had a hots for Leonardo in an episode.
Ooh, you got me there.
No?
Chopped my head.
Oh, you must have chopped your head off as well. Someone who is featured and has been featured for quite a few years in the gay scene is Barbara Streisand. Not because she's gay, but because she's a good belter of songs.
She's an icon to the gay community.
She is. Many a drag queen would sing her songbook and... Yes.
Yes. So the song she's sung that drag queens have turned into performances is amazing.
She always was dressed in the films in wonderful frocks and huge hats and she was expressionful with her facial and hand actions. So I suppose she was a good role model for drag queens.
And she's having a birthday this week, isn't she?
Yeah, well, she was born on the 24th of April, 1942.
Oh, well.
So there you are.
Yeah, I saw her live at the Etihad Stadium.
Oh, good.
Before.
Better than seeing her dead in the coffin.
She was that better than the other option.
Yeah. But it was a huge crowd there. It was the very first thing they had at that stadium down at Docklands. And I vowed and declared I'd never go back there again. It was such a danger coming out of it. I had to...
Well, I would have thought the concert itself would have been dangerous. Everybody standing up doing the sing-along, actions.
We were very lucky because we had seats way up the back, but they had to cover those seats with cloth because it was bad for the sound. And we were stuck. We went right down into the very expensive seats. And so we were up close and personal, and we'd paid for the very cheap ones. So we thought that was rather nice.
Yeah.
But coming out was the way you had to get out of the place. And I was trying to protect a man who was on walking sticks in front of me, and there were people pushing behind. It was a shocking place.
I would have just been disappointed turning up to Eddie Head and seeing that she didn't even kick a goal.
No. I don't think they had the goalposts up even that night.
No wonder she didn't kick a goal.
Yeah, but she has a big machine that says the words of everything. She looks up.
An auto cue,
a huge auto cue, and the words would have probably been about 10 centimetres high, and so she could see them from where she was standing.
So she didn't have to squint her eyes. Yeah. That's right.
Yes, a lot of artists use that, but they still say to Melbourne audiences, thank you, Sydney.
Yeah. Fools. Someone who never probably did that because she had reputedly the words of songs written on her sleeves was Dusty Springfield.
Well, she had bad sight, of course. Because that's why she put the things on her sleeve.
Born on the 16th of April 1939, about the same vintage as Barbara Streisand, but she didn't last all that long.
No, she had a huge career.
Died in 99. Mm. But yes, she's another drag artist's idol. Yeah.
That's right.
Example. And apparently, yes, she used to have the words written on the sleeves of her frock. So when she would throw her hands out, she was really referring to
the songs
written on her sleeves.
I thought that was her artistry.
The author, I've read the biography of Dusty, and it's a very interesting thing. She was very tormented in her own mind in lots of ways, and she would take hours to just sing one song because the phrasing would have to be absolutely perfectly right in tune with whatever they were playing, and she could spend hours just perfecting one song.
Well, of course, what happens nowadays is that in the recording booth, one of the ears of the headphones that the singer wears has got the click beat. They've got the beat there. Click, click, click.
So that they
click
can
track. So they can keep nodding their head or stamping their toe.
In time.
And, of course, they lay down on the recording machines the vocal track separate from the instrumental track, so they can go back and they can stretch a word or shorten a word, or really they lock it in with the click track and everything just falls into place.
Well, this is what she did to the nth degree, apparently,
before all those digital tools are available.
And because she did, then she went into a slump, and it was the Pet Shop Boys that got her to come back and sing on one of their tracks, and that re-lifted her whole persona again,
yeah,
and she
her
went
up to, public.
Yeah, and she was, but then she got the cancer, and that was the end. Yeah, so it was a great singer, great songs. Yeah,
just on a connected thought, the perfection of Dusty. This morning on TV, there was a viral clip from the first American Idol singer.
Oh, I don't know. Not sure.
No, I've lost that altogether. But she'd made a horrible noise in the studio, like the note just didn't come out. And she said, cut, put that on loop. So that just went round and round and round again. Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson. Oh, yes.
And she was rolling on the floor, killing herself laughing.
Well, of course, the recording techniques have improved so much since the days when Dusty would have been recording.
We've actually gone through some horrible stages, though. In the 70s, they took multi-track recordings to the extreme.
Oh, right.
And a lot of the ELO albums were recorded on multi-track.
Mm.
So that the tracks themselves were so small, they lost the quality.
Ah.
Because he wanted to get all these various sounds
in.
He wanted to be, you know, the wall of sound again.
Mm-hmm.
And he got that, but lost. Even on CD, it sounds just shallow.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. But you being sort of into that sort of scientific thing with sound and music and computers and stuff. Yeah.
I don't think the Sound of Music was all that computerized. There was just a lady on a hill singing her heart out.
Stay tuned, because coming up after these special messages, we'll be talking about Andy Bell and Erasure, and we might even play a piece of music from him before that chat. You're on Joy.
Uplifting, informing, empowering. Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us.
We'll do some of the informing rather than the empowering.
Oh, all right then.
Because it's getting late. I haven't got the energy to empower people.
So we've got Radiothon coming up very soon on Joy.
Yes, yes.
And we just want to tease you a little bit with the concept that there's going to be some wonderful prizes. If you're not already a member, you'll be able to join up during the months of May and June and be in the draw for a huge, wonderful prize.
Yeah. We don't know what it is yet, but
we do. You've got to keep listening.
We're not allowed to say.
Ooh, secret.
It's a secret prize.
It's a teaser.
Just stay tuned because it'll be in from the middle of May right through to the end of June. We'll be having Radiothon.
And as we'd like to remind people, we're on air. We don't run on air.
That's right. So stay tuned because it's going to be a really, really fun time when it really happens. But we'll be talking about it a bit as we go along for the next few weeks, letting you know what's happening.
We heard from Andy Bell and the song Love You to the Sky, which is the first single taken from his new album. It's only released as a single on the 17th of March,
yep.
And here we are already. It's on Joy's playlist. Andy Bell, Andrew Ivan Bell, born on the 25th of April, 1964, and lead singer of the synth pop band of England, Eurasia,
yeah. They're a great band. They've got a great sound. But Andy does a lot of solo work as well. And he's released a couple of really, really interesting solo albums where he's actually, it's like an opera. He sings the whole story through song. And he did it at the Edinburgh Festival. A couple of Edinburgh festivals. He's done these two shows, yeah. But he also sang opera. He played a big part in an opera that was performed. When I get round here, it was called The Fall of the House of Usher. That was in 1991. They reissued the recording in 1999. So he's quite a good singer.
Wow.
I could just see myself sitting in the front row saying, I don't know the name, but the face rings a bell.
Oh. Okay, thank you, Phil. But apart from doing pop stuff and opera stuff, he's done a couple of albums for charity.
Oh, yeah. He is HIV positive, so he does a lot of work for the AIDS community in Britain, for different charities there. He's very well aware, and he's very, very vocal about people having unprotected sex.
Yeah.
He's very vocal, even to zero converted people, like both with HIV.
Well,
he said that's wrong.
He's been living with HIV since 1998. So here we are, 19 years later,
yep.
And he's going strong.
That's right. Well, the new drugs that are available make the viral load almost completely undetectable.
But he raised funds for AIDS and HIV research. Andy has been one of those people who leads the simple life and is not really out there trying to just make money, it would seem. He's really proud of his activities as an artist, but he leads a simple life with his husband and his dog. He makes records, goes to Edinburgh to do a show, does gay pride marches, personal appearances. He does gigs on gay cruise liners. He's not out there just in the guise of the singer. And as you were saying before, Gordon, he does lots of personal appearances supporting the protection of the community, how people can play safe.
That's right. And that's one good thing. A lot of the gay artists are doing this because, look, what Elton John has done, and well aware of what they have to do to help support the community with the AIDS epidemic.
He also, would you believe, suffers from avascular necrosis or soft bones.
Soft bones.
Yes, he's had both his hips replaced.
Yeah.
So he can't go pogoing around the stage like he used to.
That little bone disease wasn't related to HIV.
It's something he's had all the time.
Yes. He's done time with Narcotics Anonymous.
Well,
not because he needed to do it, but he had other... He's got an addictive personality that he recognises. I like smoking, drinking, but you have to realise in the end that you're not indestructible. You're responsible for your own actions. Nobody else is going to look after you. You need to be healthy. You need to be on top of things. You need to be kind to yourself.
He's a very interesting young man, actually. Or he's not young anymore. He's getting along towards being middle-aged.
Born in 64, so that makes him 43.
Oh,
a youngster about your age, Phil.
Well, he's a decade under me. And a couple.
He's chasing you, though.
Yeah. Oh, he's never going to catch up.
No.
Pretty good on my feet.
In April 1862, Louis Pasteur completed the first test of pasteurization. And he was a very... It was a useful thing that he discovered. Once again, he'd drawn conclusions from things happening around him, just like Leonardo extended the concepts that of things that were in the ordinary.
Mm.
And what did Pasteur...
He's actually credited with being the founder of microbiology. And he moved into this field when he discovered the role of bacteria in fermentation. And his research showed that microorganisms contaminated the fermenting beverages. In extrapolating from his knowledge, Pasteur then developed a process in which liquids such as milk were heated to kill all bacteria and molds already in the milk.
Yeah, I suppose some things depend on this microbe activity, other things suffer from it.
But so the interesting thing is, if we compare him to Da Vinci had all these visions and concepts. Pasteur was talking about stuff you can't see.
Oh, yeah.
So this was a theory, and it obviously...
Well, they did have,
come up with the results.
They did have microscopes in those days that they would have been. You would have been able to see microbes and all sorts of things like that. Yeah,
but he wouldn't have known whether they are good or bad ones.
No, but the,
because you know, think blue cheese is full of microbes.
That's right.
But it's still tasty and goes down
that's
well.
Right, yeah, but see, I can always remember we just drank milk straight from the dairy. It was never you put your billy can out on the front veranda and the milkman came along with his great big 40-gallon drum of milk and got the dipper and dipped it out. Two quarts of milk or whatever the billy held and just left it on your veranda.
Yeah. Well, we used to have family up in Charlton on a farm and they had a cow and it would be milked and the milk would come around to my auntie's place in a big bucket and they'd scoop the cream up the top and leave a bit in for the drinking milk. And yeah, it's not pasteurised, it's not homogenised or anything, but the memories of it is it's the best milk I've ever had.
Yeah.
But
it's full of bugs.
But we also used to, you would heat the milk and let the cream rise and the cream would then set and it would become really set cream that you could just scoop off with a thing rather than going into the separation of the two fluids.
But the heating of the milk was the thing that killed the bad bugs.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And of course you couldn't do, I don't know that you can actually create yogurt from cooked milk.
You have to heat the milk, you've got to have your little starter. You have your little yogurt starter because I used to make my own yogurt.
Man of many talents, Phil.
Well, it's if you stop cleaning under your fingernails long enough, you start creating your own yogurt.
Yeah, I used to make yogurt. It's very easy to make. And I had a special electronic. I've still got it at home. And you just heat the milk to a degree, certain temperature with the special thermometer. And you just pour the milk into the, with the starter yogurt in it, stick it into these things, leave it for about 6 days and it comes up.
I have a more modern method of getting such products as dairy products.
Go to a shop and buy it.
You go to the supermarket to the dairy aisle.
Oh, is that weird?
And you have a selection of flavours and colours and all sorts of things, but there are downsides.
Because they got full of sugar.
No, none of that. The problem is, and there was this blonde girl in the juice aisle.
All right.
And she's staring at this bottle of orange juice.
Mm.
And I went up to her and said, "What's the problem?" And she said, "It says concentrate." She'd been there for hours.
That I might have to cut that out of the recording, I think.
Oh, that's a gem.
I'd leave it in if I were you.
That's one of my classics.
Golly gosh. Well, we haven't got time to tell you that on the 10th of April 1912, the Titanic set out on its fateful journey.
That's three-hour cruise.
It's a maiden voyage.
Leonardo was on the bow.
Not Da Vinci.
No. But then that other lady singing.
Celine.
Celine Dion, yes.
Oh, Canada. Is she Canadian?
Yes.
Yeah, she's from Canada.
Yes.
Who said Canada as well? Was that?
I can't remember that.
I think that was Mr. Rabbit.
Oh, Mr. Rabbit said yes. Mr. Abbott said Canada.
So there we are. We've come full circle. We're back to Easter and the Easter Bunny. Oh, that's very sad. Terrific. Thanks very much for being with us. It's time to depart this year a place. The witching hour is upon us almost. It's either time to go to bed or time to get up. So thanks very much for being with us. We'll catch up with you next week, but we will leave you with another piece of music from Adam Lambert. See you next week.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey there, I'm Adam Lambert, and you're listening to Joy 94.9. Where I was walking for some time, when I came across this sign saying, who are you and where are you from? We don't like when visitors come. No trespassing, that's what it said. At least that's what I could read. No trespassing, get my ass way to get a load of me. One day I was tripping.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.